Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I am your host, Em, and today I am chatting with Dr. Bibi Galai. She is a medical aesthetics trailblazer and founder of the Marylebone-based boutique clinic, British Aesthetics. With her patient-centric approach at the heart of her practice, she recognizes the importance of educating her patients with an emphasis on optimal skin health, daily routine, lifestyle, and well-being. Dr. Bibi, welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hi, Em. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be joining your podcast today. It's a pleasure to be on here with you.
Absolutely. So we are chatting remotely, and thank you for joining me on a bit of like a coffee date, if you will. I'm so excited to chat with you. I feel like we have so much to catch up on. But before we dive in, what is your like a go-to coffee or tea order?
That's a good question. So I've been to Japan a few times and I love my matcha latte, which I usually order at this place called Dutor there. And you can buy them and bring them back to the UK with you. So that's one of my favorites. But right now I'm actually having a British brand, which has a Japanese name, interestingly. It's called Shibui, and they are a tea company and their tea is just incredible.
Ooh, that sounds good. Also, I love a matcha latte. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's well worth trying. Shibui have lots of different tea brands, tea flavors here, and I'm trying their Earl Grey at the moment. It's a Japanese word that means describing something that appears simple but has a complex nature. They're actually a Yorkshire brand, but I found their tea when I was lecturing on aesthetic medicine a few weeks ago. I ordered it, and I really like it. It's really nice.
Ooh, I'm going to have to try that brand. The British have their tea down. I feel like the tea over here is just, it's like 10x than what we have back in the States. So you need to get on that. So where are you originally from? And like, where did you kind of grow up, just to get some background for our listeners?
So I am originally from Iran. That's where I was born. And very soon after I was born, at the age of 3, we moved to the United States. And I grew up in Texas, where I went. I had a very happy childhood out in the open green. And I was there until the age of 10. And I came to the UK for secondary school, or the beginning of what the Americans call high school. And I did my secondary school and high school here. And then I went to medical school here in the UK at Imperial College. And it's a 6-year program. But during that, I transferred to Harvard for a while. I was there doing plastic surgery and emergency medicine. And then I came back and finished my studies here. And I've been working here ever since. So I've been here for 29 years now.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer life in London or do you prefer life in the States?
You know, I think London is one of those cities that takes some getting used to, but it has such a special charm. And when you understand it, its dynamics and the people, it's actually one of those places that grows on you and then you just fall in love with it. And anytime I leave or travel for a significant period of time, I miss London so much. I mean, I consider this my home now. And I don't think anywhere really that I've traveled to has the diversity and the just the buzz that this city has. It's such a buzzing city. Like, it's impossible to get bored here.
Absolutely. And so whereabouts are you based in London? And you live here with your husband, right?
Yeah, I do. I grew up in St. John's Wood. I spent most of the last 29 years there. We're in North London now, and my clinic is in central London in Marylebone, as you said. So it's, I'm kind of, you know, based mainly around the central area, but I have a lot of friends who live outside of London, like in Hertfordshire or kind of in the more suburban areas. And that's also a nice compromise, I think, for city life.
Absolutely. So can you kind of give us a brief career background? Like, how did you get your start in skincare? Were you always fascinated by this, or like, how did that kind of develop for you?
Sure. So I've been a doctor for 15 years now, and I graduated from medical school in 2005, and I worked through various different specialties, emergency medicine, pediatrics, surgery, and I decided that I wanted to be a surgeon. But we had a kind of a big tumultuous change in the training programs here in the UK, and it ended up that I ended up on a general practice training routine. So I actually qualified as a GP back in 2010. And subsequent to that, I realized that I am seeing so many patients with skin complaints, both in general practice and in A&E. I've always done shifts in A&E since 10 years ago. And so I thought, this is actually, it's over 30% of a doctor's workload is dermatology. So I was like, you know what, I really need to refine my knowledge. So I did a postgraduate diploma at the Blizzard Research Institute, which is part of Queen Mary University, which is a really prestigious place to do dermatology studies here in London. And I got a distinction in that. And I just really realized that I love the skin. I love the whole, the branch of aesthetic medicine. And I was doing my surgical exams and decided to go on an aesthetics training course. This was back in 2007. And I realized I'm actually really good with my hands. So that's where my interest in aesthetic medicine took off. And soon after I trained, I was asked to start lecturing on aesthetic medicine. And this is how I kind of developed my interest, is I have a real passion for academia. So I train a lot of doctors on aesthetic medicine, and I've been doing that for the last 8 years now. And then I started a master's in aesthetic medicine, and this kind of just took off. And I realized, actually, I have the patients that come to me are, they're loyal. They like the service that I provide. They're happy with their treatments. So then it just made sense to set up my own clinic, which is what I did about 15 months ago.
Amazing. And what has that journey kind of been like for you? Were there kind of challenges with opening your own clinic, or was it really just like a natural kind of fruition for you?
It was natural because I was seeing patients at various different locations, and they were always wanting to come back, and my workload in aesthetic medicine was increasing, but I've always maintained that I want to still have my dedication to the NHS. So I still work as an NHS doctor in the accident and emergency department and in urgent care. And it was hard trying to find a way to balance my different roles, because I'm a clinical lecturer, I work in A&E, and then I wanted to do my aesthetic medicine. But thankfully, I managed to find a kind of portfolio career whereby I can do my A&E shifts, I can do my aesthetic medicine, I can do my lecturing, and it all just complements each other. Because I think one of the important things is that in the UK, this industry is really unregulated, and you have a lot of non-medics offering aesthetic medicine procedures. And it should not be the case, because really that's very dangerous and patients end up at risk. So for me, it's important that when I'm training other clinicians how to do this, that they are medics themselves. And it's also important for me as a clinician that I keep up my medical skills. So, you know, God forbid, if there's a problem with a patient, I need to be able to manage that patient medically. So working in A&E is still really important, and it really complements my aesthetic work. And that's always been quite a strong focus for me. But it's somehow just worked out. The three roles just complement each other perfectly. I've been quite lucky in that sense.
I love that. So what are your specialties? Like, what are you really known here in London at your clinic for?
That's a good question. And I think it's an important question, because there's so many cosmetic doctors around, and each of them should kind of have their, you know, what they're best at. My real area of expertise is the tear trough, is the under eye. And I have a procedure called Under Eye Revive, which is amazing for rejuvenating the hollows and the dark circles in the under eye area, whether there's been volume loss or whether it's kind of loose skin or whether it's just shadows. So that's my area of expertise. And then also the kind of what we call at my clinic whole face, which is essentially a liquid facelift. So it's a facelift that's done entirely non-surgically with dermal fillers. And it's the kind of rejuvenation package for the entire face, not just for one area. And it really kind of serves to take years and years off of a patient. So for example, I have some patients who are moms and they've had two or three kids and they've lost a lot of volume and plumpness in their face. They come in, they have whole face and they're just, it kind of takes them back to pre-pregnancy before they ever had children. And it's a really natural way of getting overall youth back.
Amazing. And your education and your reputation, it's obviously, it's so impressive. You know, you've created such trust amongst your clientele, and everything I read about you, it's linking back to that trust that you've really established here in London. Like, what would you attribute this to, do you think?
Thank you. That's very sweet. I think we're slightly different at British Aesthetics in the sense that I have a very, very patient-centered approach. What the patient wants, their goals, their focus is at the epicenter of the entire consultation and treatment process. It's not about what I think is best or what I want to achieve for them. It's about what they want to achieve for themselves and us working together to achieve that goal. So the patient's very involved. I'll often ask their opinion about my technique, about what I'm, you know, actually doing during the injections. And it's also a holistic approach because it's not just focusing on injectables, but it's also focusing on their diet, their well-being, their skincare, how to optimize the health of their skin. And I think when patients leave a consultation or a treatment and they're satisfied, they come back. So we have an extremely high retainer rate in our clinic. It's very unusual that a patient would leave us because generally I ensure that they're really happy with the whole process. And also I make myself really available to them for follow-up and for any queries and concerns after the procedure. So they know they can always get in touch with me if there's anything that they're concerned about or they have questions about. And I think that's really important in this branch of medicine.
Absolutely. And correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like with your type of clientele and the types of services that you provide, it's not usually just like a one-off and you're never going to see that customer again. It seems to me like people come back to you, whether it's for like a follow-up consultation or a second service or like a second round of something?
Absolutely. So a lot of the treatments are repeatable. And so they will come back two or three times a year. And sometimes if they're not coming back for the same treatment, they'll want a supplementary or a complementary treatment that works with that one, or they'll come and have injectables. And then the second appointment will be for skincare. And then the third appointment might be for a medical facial. So it's lots of different therapies that complement each other. And actually it's building a relationship that we can then take forward and grow, rather than just you have a treatment and that's it. And that's the end of it.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. So I'd love to get into injectables with you for a second.
Okay.
And I'd like to too, like just bring it back to my consultation with you, which was, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And that was the first time that we ever spoke. And I remember I mentioned to you, you know, I'm not quite ready to dive into the world of Botox just yet. Like, what else can I do before going down that path? You know, I'm going to be 33 this year. I definitely have lines in my face that are not softening. They are just deepening. Mm-hmm. So can you, I guess, talk us through like some alternatives to Botox and like some of the other like skin boosters that you had mentioned to me?
Of course. And that's a great question because not everyone is ready for injectables or for Botox even. And although it's such a safe medication, people always want to know what the other options are. And so that's, you know, it's a really important topic to discuss. So there, skin boosters come into various categories. Profilo is an ever-increasing treatment in popularity. And it's something that's not only become trendy, but it's very, very effective, especially for your kind of age group, for like the young person who wants a rejuvenation of their facial skin, wants some plumpness, radiance, wants their skin to glow, but they're not ready for dermal fillers yet. The Profilo is actually, it's a very pure dermal filler that contains the highest concentration of hyaluronic acid on the market. And it's a skin remodeling treatment. So basically what that means is when it's injected into your skin, It releases slowly and it stimulates your skin to produce four different types of collagen and elastin, your own collagen and elastin. And it attracts water molecules into the deeper layers of the skin. And by doing all of this, it not only improves the tone, it improves hydration and the appearance of fine lines. And the because it's remodeling, it lifts and it tightens the skin. Whereas normal hyaluronic acid fillers, they just kind of fill a particular area of concern. They fill a line, they create volume in one area of the face. This is a global hydrating treatment. And it lasts for up to 6 months. So it's actually got a really good long-lasting result.
Okay, amazing. Because, okay, when it comes to Botox, like how often are we talking that you need to like top up on that?
So Botox is completely different. Botox, rather than creating hydration and treating plumpness, it's actually for deactivating muscles. So it works on the muscles and stops them from working. And by doing that, it targets lines. And that, it varies from patient to patient. So it's anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And when it wears off, your muscles and your lines go back to how they were pre-treatment. And then you need to have a repeated treatment. So some people have it twice a year. Some people have it 3 times a year. I generally don't advise more than twice a year because I think it's good to give your face a break and allow the muscles to, you know, reactivate and to not lose their strength between treatments. So that's a totally different treatment, but Profhilo is more like a skin booster. And then we've got other types of skin boosters as well, like Teoxane's Redensity 1. So that's also a very interesting product.
Okay, amazing. So what are, I guess, some of the myths around injectables that you hear often? Because I imagine people come to you all the time with some of these myths. Is there anything that you kind of want to dispel?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think... So one of the myths is that Botox and fillers work the same way, which is absolutely not true. People often get them confused. So Botox is for deactivating muscle contraction. And we know that wrinkles form at 90 degrees to the action of the muscle underneath. So for example, if you have a frown between your eyebrows and you want to deactivate that, Botox works really well for that. Fillers are hyaluronic acid. They're there for creating volume, for creating a lift, and for filling out lines. So they're two completely different treatments. I think the other myth is that Botox is addictive. It's not addictive, and especially if it's employed in a modest way and done correctly, it can really help to not only treat lines but prevent lines for the future. So it's therapeutic and preventative. Also, a lot of people think that fillers are very painful. They shouldn't be, especially if they're done, you know, in experienced hands and with numbing cream, and with someone who knows exactly what they're doing and has a dexterous approach. It shouldn't be a very painful treatment. And I think the most important thing is that people often think that having injectables makes you look fake or frozen or puffy, and that's not the case. If they're done the correct way and if they're done with delicacy and taking into account the natural contours of a person's face and what's considered aesthetically beautiful, actually these treatments are just there to enhance a person's beauty, not to make you look overdone or to look fake.
Makes so much sense. So, okay, if for someone like me or maybe someone in the audience not quite ready for Botox, what would be your recommendation to explore first? Would it be maybe try some Profhilo, or I guess do you have kind of like a general recommendation?
Yeah, I think starting off with Profhilo is a good option, or the other thing would be the skin boosters. So for example, I work with a range called Teoxane. They have a product called Redensity 1, which is great for global hydration. So Profhilo, you don't necessarily use it on the forehead. Redensity 1, it's a very, very delicate hyaluronic acid that's mixed with amino acids and vitamins, and you can use it all over the face, the forehead, the cheeks, the neck, the décolletage, and it basically just helps to it's like a liquid moisturizer being injected under the skin, and that's really great for hydrating the entire face and for plumping and for radiance. So I think those are kind of really good intermediary treatments for someone who wants to have some rejuvenation but isn't quite ready for the standard dermal filler approach.
So I guess shifting gears a little bit to skincare. So What is like kind of your overall approach to skincare, would you say?
I think my overall approach is to identify the concerns, see what it is that's bothering the patient, what it is that they're suffering with, what they're not happy about with their skin, and then go through their current regime with them and see what is working well and what isn't working well and what could be done better, and then to come up with a treatment plan. And actually, in most patients, you can identify that the products that they're using aren't appropriate for their skin. And I think my approach is that it should be simple and easy to follow, and consistency is key. So if you have a simple, consistent skincare routine, 9 times out of 10, you will completely revolutionize your skin, and you'll end up with the skin you always wanted that you couldn't have because you were just using the wrong products in the wrong way.
Definitely. So it sounds like you do a lot of work with like guiding your clients on what type of regime to implement and kind of like revamping the products that they're using.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing what I can tailor to their specific skin needs. So like someone will come in and they'll have acne and they'll be using vitamin C and they won't understand why their acne is flaring up. And it's because a lot of people don't realize that actually using topical vitamin C can actually flare your acne, but it's such a popular product that everyone wants to use it. So it's just these little tricks and tips that not every person in the general public will be aware of that you kind of need a medical input for sometimes.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I'd love to talk on vitamin C for a second. You're right. I feel like it's such a popular product and it's like a buzzword in the world of skincare. And so I feel like a lot of people, if they're not as knowledgeable around vitamin C and what kind of skin type it's really catered for, you know, like you said, you can have a flare up. I know I was using vitamin C for a little bit and I have sensitive skin. So some vitamin C does cause me to kind of like break out or my redness is increased. So is it just about like educating yourself more, or is it about like finding the right brand with the right types of, I guess, like products and ingredients that like suits your skin?
I think it's a combination of both. Vitamin C is a very unstable product. It deoxidizes when it's exposed to light and to air. So finding a formulation that remains stable and remains that can keep its integrity is not easy. A lot of companies sell vitamin C, but then if you start using them for after a week or two, you'll notice they start to change in their scent. They smell different and they also change in color. That basically means it's deoxidized and it no longer works. It's not effective anymore. So there are only very few companies that have found ways to stabilize it and to make it keep its integrity. So like one of my favorite vitamin C products is Medicate's Super C30. And I love their vitamin C because they found a way to stabilize it into a lipid carrier. So when you put it on your face, it feels so hydrating and it absorbs so quick, but also it doesn't oxidize. Like I've had my current bottle for over 2 months now. It's still the exact same color it was. It has the same scent that it always had. And it just, when I put it on it, everyone always says to me, "You look like you had a really good night's sleep." That's always the comment I tend to get because it gives you this glow. So I think it's knowing which product to use from which company and also how to layer it. Because if you're using lots of different products on your skin, a lot of them can counteract each other. So it's knowing where to insert the product into your skincare routine.
Totally makes sense. And that leads me to my next question on a skincare brand. I know you and I both love, when we talked last, it came up right away and that was Medicate. And I also saw your Sheer Luxe takeover, which was so fun. I think it was your nighttime routine. And you had a ton of, different like Medicate products, which by the way, that was a brand that I did not discover or even hear of until I moved over to the UK. Can you, I guess, share what are some of your heroes from Medicate?
So I've been using Medicate for 6 months now. I was also new to them until that time. And I don't believe in advocating things to my patients unless there's a good evidence base for it. I've tried it myself. I can see the results and unless there's consistency. And I can honestly say that these products have really changed my skin. I used to suffer with acne and I do have acne scars on my face. And I have found that this routine that I put together using Medicaid products has really helped my skin. So some of the products I love, I use their Surface Radiance Cleanse, which is an alpha hydroxy acid, beta hydroxy acid cleanser. I use that in the mornings. And it's a little bit harsh for every person. So you might not be able to use it every single day, or just a few times a week might be enough. But it's a really good cleanser for sloughing off all the dead skin cells and unclogging pores. And then their Press and Glow is the toner exfoliator that I use. And that's a polyhydroxy acid called gluconolactone. And again, that's great for toning the skin and for acting as a really good, strong exfoliator. But it's gentle enough that you can use it every single day, even twice a day, morning and night. So I use that after my cleanser. And then obviously, which I just mentioned now, is their vitamin C. So I use their Super C 30. I've just moved up to that from the C Tetra. From the Tetra C, sorry. So Tetra C is their milder vitamin C, and then Super C30 is the more intense. And it's mixed with vitamin E and other antioxidants, and also with turmeric. And it's a potent but gentle vitamin C that you can use every single day. And that's one of my go-to products from them. And I use that on my face, and I use their C Tetra I on the under eyes. So these are some of my favorites from their range.
Okay, amazing. And they have really great retinol products, which is how I was like originally introduced to the brand. Yeah. And then I'm really curious your take on one of their new products. It's like a bakuchiol. I don't know if I'm saying it. Bakuchiol serum. Yeah. And my understanding, and you can obviously speak way more on this, is it's an alternative to retinol. So someone like me who has sensitive skin, I don't know, but I do feel like this product has done wonders. Like the texture of my skin has really improved. I've been using it for the last like 3 months, probably. Mm-hmm. Use it like a few times a week, just at nighttime.
Yeah. That's great to hear. And, I think they've had a lot of really good feedback from their bakuchiol. So bakuchiol is it's a chemical compound that has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory and even antibacterial properties. It's extracted from bakuchi plant seeds. And it is said to be the natural kind of nature's alternative to retinol. It's been used for thousands of years in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine, but it was only commercialized around 10 years ago in the beauty space. And it's really come on strong in the last couple of years because there have been a few clinical studies that have been run on it since 2013 about bakuchiol's ability to mimic the benefits of retinol. And the reason that's important is because retinol has a lot of negative aspects too. So it can cause redness, irritation, flakiness, and dryness, which some people just can't tolerate. They just can't tolerate using retinol, even if they're only using it once or twice a week. They just break out. So bakuchiol doesn't have those side effects. And also, for pregnant moms, for women who are breastfeeding, for women who are trying to conceive, it's not okay to use a retinol because it's what we call teratogenic. It can be dangerous to the fetus. And it comes out in breast milk as well. So bakuchiol is the alternative for those women. It's safe for them to use. And that's great because we've never had anything as potent as vitamin A, as retinol, that pregnant moms and that breastfeeding moms and women trying to conceive can use. And now this is the answer. And then the other benefit is that it doesn't, it's not affected by the sun. So like you can't use retinol during the daytime because it makes your skin extremely sensitive to sunlight and it can predispose to using to skin cancers. But bakuchiol doesn't do that. So it has a lot of advantages over retinol. And I think that's why it's increasing in popularity so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned that too, because when I was pregnant, I'm like, what am I going to use? And I kept hearing about bakuchiol. So I think that's like a great little tip. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, cool. Shifting gears again. We're going to do a little rapid fire winter skincare question. And I fielded 5 top questions from my audience on stories last week when I let them know you were coming on the podcast. So I will ask a question and then you can just answer and I'll get on to the next one.
Okay, amazing.
Okay, cool. First question is best products to brighten dull/blah winter skin.
Okay, this has got to be my all-time favorite, which is Medicaid's Super C30, which is their high-strength, high-performance vitamin C serum. That's great for pigmentation, anti-aging, and those who want to step up their vitamin C game.
Okay, awesome. Number two, top tip for dry skin from the cold weather and indoor heating.
I would say use a very rich ceramide-based moisturizer at nighttime, an intense one. Drink 2 liters of water a day and use vitamin D supplements every day. I use a spray that goes sublingually under the tongue, great for improving skin hydration.
Okay, perfect. Best lip balm.
My favorite lip balm is the Grown Alchemist Antioxidant 3 Complex Lip Balm. It's full of antioxidants. It's very rich, leaves your lips super, super soft and hydrated.
Okay, I need that in my life. number four, how to tackle milia.
So actually, milia they're annoying if you look at them, but they're harmless. And usually if you just leave them alone and have a good skincare routine, they will go away by themselves. But I think a lot of people just get irritated by them. So if you do want to actually treat them, the best bet is a pro route. So to see a skincare professional who will then do an incision using a sterile needle or a comedone extractor, and you basically can flick out the outermost layer of the milia and then release the actual contents. That's the best way to get rid of them. But if you have a good consistent skincare routine, they do go away by themselves.
Okay, good to know. And last question, number one anti-aging piece of skincare advice.
Wear SPF every single day.
Yes, right on. I like it. Okay, amazing. Just a few more questions for you before we wrap up this fun convo. So these are obviously unprecedented times in the world. We're in lockdown 2.0 over in the UK. But I feel like from what I know about you and your social and just having like that one consultation with you, it feels like you generally always keep really upbeat and positive. How do you keep this going just sort of in your day-to-day life?
I think it's important to just take a little bit of time out every day and just do something fun. For me, I love to cook. I put on music. I dance around the kitchen with my husband. We make silly noises while we're cooking. I think that's, it's nice to just de-stress after work by doing something like that. But then also I think I've kind of have my priorities straight. Like my family and my work are really what matter to me so much. And I know that. So everything else for me is peripheral. So I think kind of just working out what's important in your life and making sure that those stay the priority. It helps to keep you focused for sure.
Absolutely. I love that. And I was just watching your stories with your husband. You guys are so cute. what's your favorite dish that you guys have been making?
Oh, we get so many queries about this, what we call tadig. It's the crispy layer of rice, of Persian rice that we make. Because we, in Iran, you make rice so that you turn it upside down at the end, and there's this beautiful golden saffron infused crispy layer on top. It's actually a delicacy, and you can have that with so many different types of stew. So, but you never know how it's going to turn out till you flip the pot over. So, so for me, as, although I make it so many times a week, he's like, oh my God, she's crazy. This never gets old for her.
Oh my God. That sounds delicious. Okay. I love that. Are there any like routines or things that you do self-care wise that you swear by, or like any tips or tweaks to the routine you would want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I think it's just important to have some self-care, even if you're a crazy busy person. I did a 23-day stretch of work in a row last month without a day off. And then when I had a Sunday off, and the very first thing I went to do was get my nails done. And my husband was like, oh my, you're crazy. You've worked 23 days and this is what you're doing. And I was like, yeah, because actually it's really important. Like you want your nails to look nice. You want your hair to look nice. You want to, go get a nice haircut or a massage. So I think tending to yourself and making sure that you feel relaxed and doing things that make you feel beautiful on the outside as well as on the inside are really important in making sure you stay happy.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. So what is next for you? Is there anything exciting coming up that you want to share before you go?
I think I'm just keen for COVID to settle down and for us to all be able to get back to our normal lives and for me to be able to have all my lovely patients coming back into clinic again. We've just launched something called the Cherry Glaze Facial at my clinic. And so many people want to book in, but obviously it's a non-essential procedure. So we're just waiting for the lockdown to settle so we can get people in for it.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. And I can't wait to get into your clinic because I'm right around the corner.
I can't wait to have you. Absolutely. We're looking forward to having you.
Absolutely. Okay. Also, I want to share with the audience, in light of the festive season that is upon us, Dr. Beebe, you have been kind enough to offer two complimentary skincare consultations to two listeners. And this can be done over video chat or WhatsApp. So you can be anywhere in the world. So the first two listeners to share this episode on their stories on Instagram will receive a free consultation with you. So just send us a direct message on the Big Move podcast page after, and we'll firm that up for everybody. But Dr. Beebe, before you go, where can everybody follow you and keep up with you and find your stories with you and your adorable husband cooking?
I am on Instagram. My username is Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R dot BB, which is B-I-B-I. And also, my clinic is British Aesthetics. The website is www.britishaesthetics.co.uk.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your knowledge today.
Thank you for having me. It's been so lovely chatting with you, and I really look forward to seeing you in person really soon.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you found value, please share with a friend, tag us on Instagram. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you all on the next episode. See ya.
Bye.